What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we have been covering the Chargers, unfortunately, for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. That show airs weekly, but this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And part of bringing you guys your team every day means we have to be here for all of these upsetting losses that the Chargers keep sending us through. So the Chargers lose to the Broncos 23-20 in another game where they find another ridiculous way to lose, with Casey Hayward getting a pass interference call with 8 seconds left on the clock and giving the Broncos a game-winning field goal attempt that they knocked through after just tying the game and giving yourself a chance to go to overtime. The Chargers absolutely blow it again. Phillip Rivers, another bad turnover against the AFC West. So much to get into today, but first let me say thank you to everyone who could watch that game and still turn this on the next morning and listen to all of us, you know, kind of grieve with you guys after another tough finish. So thank you guys for that. So today we're going to be getting into just a game summary and talk about the Chargers just, you know, finding another ridiculous way to lose the game. Then we'll get into the game recap, go over all of the plays and scoring drives before getting into our fan voicemail segment at the end of the show where we let you guys vent. We have four voicemails to get into today. So thank you to everyone who called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. If you guys want to vent, call 323-524-7924. There's just about an endless amount of things that you could complain about, especially after another heartbreaking game, if you can be heartbroken after what the Chargers have put you through this season. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade. The news today is that the Chargers fell to the Denver Broncos 23-20 on a game-winning field goal by Brandon McManus as time expired, but it's what got us to that point that is so ridiculous about this game. The Chargers tied the game with 14 seconds left. Then with 8 seconds left, Drew Lock gets a pass interference call, throwing at Casey Hayward and targeting Cortland Sutton on a play that just never should have happened. There's a lot of people who are very upset with the call, and I understand why you're upset. When I first saw it, I knew they were going to throw the flag. Just to have a game decided by a flag is just such a rough way to lose the game, but the Chargers did other things to make them lose this game. But when you look at what they did in this game, you see Melvin Gordon having another good day on the ground. You see Phillip Rivers with 265 passing yards, having a very efficient day and 2 touchdowns, and the Chargers defense playing very well, and still they find another way to lose a close game. At this point in the season, with all of the Chargers' losses now 8 coming within one score, it's just absolutely crazy that we're sitting here having this conversation again and the Chargers just finding a ridiculous way to lose a game, this time with basically no time left. A pass interference call gifts the Broncos a win. We won't be talking about playoff hopes for the Chargers, even if they're not mathematically eliminated. They are all but at this point. I mean, losing this game, you also look across the league and you see that the Steelers won a game against the Browns you needed them to lose. You have the Titans winning a game over the Colts, which you have the tiebreaker over, so now they get another win and just make the hill that much steeper that the Chargers would have to climb. Even if they were to have won this game, it would have given them a chance. Their chances would have still been very slight. But you had to win this game, and it's the second time that a team who only has 4 wins now has beaten you. You are half of the Broncos' wins, and they are just not a good football team, and the Chargers all season long have not only let bad football teams stay in games with them, but they have let them beat them, and there are so many winnable games on this Chargers schedule that you could look back on and curse, but at the end of the day, the Chargers just don't know how to finish games, and 1 week after another, it's deja vu, with the Chargers finding just one small tweak in the game to really change it from the rest of them. Last time it's fumbling on the 1 yard line or throwing an interception to end the game. It's all eerily similar, but this game specifically, I mean, having Phillip Rivers have a turnover that leads to the Broncos going up 14-0. You came off of a bye week. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, a little less because of Monday Night Football. The Chargers came out with a game plan that just flatly didn't work. And even though they did a pretty good job defensively, it wasn't enough to get over the mistakes that were made with a muff punt and an interception that led to points for the Denver Broncos. When you look at this, it's just such a shame because you see Phillip Rivers bounce back after an early interception where many people thought he might get benched for Tyrod Taylor after it. He comes back and has a strong game. The Chargers put themselves in position to win the game like that, and they don't do it. So now you look at the rest of the season, and now the Chargers at 4-8 are almost playing for draft position at this point, but there's just not much to look forward to as far as the Chargers doing anything this season, but the rest of the season is very important, not only for the players who have expiring contracts, but also this coaching staff in this front office whose jobs could potentially be on the line because of the Chargers' failures this season. I think Anthony Lynn's job is probably safe after a 9-7 season, a winning year, and a 12-4 year where you win a playoff game. I don't think he is much on the hot seat, but there are a lot of jobs that are on the line this season, and you know the Chargers going forward are going to have to make changes because going 2-8 this season in one score games is absolutely ridiculous. And at some point, especially on that last play of the game, the Broncos have one chance to get in field goal range, and somehow you let their best receiver behind your defense. That is poor coaching at that point for him to even be in that situation to begin with. So many things to talk about from this game, but at the end of the day, the Chargers' playoff chances are basically gone. And we do not have a clearer picture on if Phillip Rivers is going to return next season. After an okay game, still a puzzling interception at the beginning of it, and no questions were answered in this game. It was just more of the same. The Chargers finding another way to lose an absolutely brutal game to a bad team. But we do have two more segments to get into. Unfortunately, having to recap this game and get into just some of the crazy plays from this game, as well as letting you guys vent in our fan voicemail segment coming up after this. But I do have to tell you guys that this episode is brought to you by Blue Chew, so we want to send a special shout out. And I'm excited to tell you guys about Blue Chew. That's bluechew.com. Blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or even wait in line at the pharmacy. And the best part is it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since they ship straight to you, it's cheaper than the pharmacy as well. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment of Blue Chew for free with the special promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. I also want to shout out our friends over at Metro Infinity, our favorite car dealership. And our listeners' favorite car dealership, we actually had someone go and buy a car at Metro Infinity. And if you guys haven't gone yet, you have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and they're the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership and spending hours there, it's no problem at all because they will bring the car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. And if you guys tell them that we sent you over there, go ahead and mention Locked On Chargers. You can save an extra $500 off of any car purchase. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. You can be like one of our listeners and be driving off in a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation with $1,000 down at $325 a month. Plus, you can get that extra $500 off by telling them we sent you over there. All right, guys. Well, now, unfortunately, we have to get into our game recap to bring you all of the crazy plays in this game. So let's go ahead and jump into it and not make it take any longer than we need to. The Chargers did good defensively coming into this game. They get a three and out by the Broncos defense. 3 plays, 9 yards. They get the ball back for the Chargers offense with a chance to take the lead. But of course, Philip Rivers ends up taking a sack. The Chargers offensive line can't pick up. Defensive back blitz. Just an easy sack where Philip Rivers basically curled up into a ball. Once he saw him coming, the Chargers can't get it done. And what happens, of course, is the Broncos go right down the field. Cortland Sutton makes a ridiculous catch, a 26-yard touchdown at the end of it from Drew Lock for his first career touchdown. Might have hit the ground, but he did look like he had control over it. But either way, the Chargers once again find themselves down 7-0. And what happens after that, of course, with the Chargers, it has to go from bad to worse. So after that, Philip Rivers ends up throwing an interception on a screen pass trying to find Austin Ekeler. It didn't quite develop the way he thought it would. Throws an easy interception to a defensive lineman, Draymond Jones, and it sets the Broncos offense up inside the 20. So of course, what has to happen is the Broncos score a touchdown, 6 plays, 18 yards. Cortland Sutton picks up his second touchdown of the game, and Drew Lock, a rookie coming out of the gates in his first 3 drives, has 2 touchdowns. And John, once again, the Chargers fall to a 14-0 deficit in this game after doing that already the first time. I mean, the game's basically started exactly the same. Even though the Chargers are coming off of a bye week, they looked like they were playing on a Thursday night football with their lack of preparation and the way they came out in this game.
Yeah, our guys look like they don't want to be there. The Broncos players look like they have everything to play for. The Chargers act like a bunch of guys on a daily shift that just don't want to come to work, while the Broncos look like they're having fun, ready to play a football game. And then you want to bring up some play calling. We started our first drive running the ball and then completing a pass. Running the ball was working well. We got decent yards and set up a 3rd and 4. What do we do after that 3rd and 4? We get a 1st down to Mike Williams. We run the ball again at 2nd and 2. And for some reason, we do 2 straight passing plays. Like, the runs on 1st and 2nd down were working. You go to passing. We're somehow still breaking away from running the ball when it's working. And it sets us up to be in this 0-14 hole. And then that screen pass, it's predictable. We run the screen play a lot in this offense. Screen passes are supposed to be set up. It's supposed to be a second quarter play that's been set up by running the ball and passing the ball well. And now they're sitting the blitz, and now you catch them blitzing with a screen. Instead, it's our everyday regular play, and it's predictable. The Broncos defensive lineman was sitting right there waiting for it while getting blocked. They knew it was coming. The Broncos defense was calling out our plays all day. This predictable play calling is going to keep putting us in a 0-14 hole until we come out aggressively and run the ball.
Yeah, and it was just so wild for me to see the Chargers come out and just do the same thing after a bye week and have the same issues. And of course, it picks up, but still, to get down to another 14-0 start is absolutely unacceptable against this Broncos team with a rookie quarterback. But the Chargers would come back and get a field goal from Michael Badgley from 30 yards out. But it comes with, of course, Philip Rivers missing Virgil Green on what would have been a walk-in touchdown, and the Chargers having to settle for another field goal getting into the red zone, something, again, that's plagued them all season long, of course. But the Broncos were not able to come back and do anything with it. They had 3 plays and 10 yards, had to punt again. And what happens, of course, with the Chargers, after you bench Desmond King for muffing punts this season, Troy Maine-Pope cops up another one, setting the Broncos up inside the 25-yard line for the 2nd time of the game, and it was only the first half, which is absolutely ridiculous, but the Chargers can't get it right at punt returner. You take out your all-pro punt returner, Desmond King, and what happens? Troy Maine-Pope, and really one of his first chances to actually return a punt this year, can't hold on to it, fumbles it. The Broncos pick it up. Give credit to the defense because they ended up holding them to a field goal, but still, 17-3, David, in this game. That's the start the Chargers get out to. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God, man. I just catch the ball. Please, just catch the ball. That is all I want. I don't even care if you get a return to this point. Just secure the football. I mean, come on. That is your only real job. Obviously, if you get yards after, great. I mean, that's awesome. You know, improve the field position. But you got to give the ball to your offense. You cannot do that It's been happening to the Chargers all year long, and this is just another mistake to just dig the hole even deeper.
It's just another game where the Chargers just keep making unforced errors. I mean, even the interception, it wasn't as if he was under immediate pressure, just an obvious play. They were ready for it. Throws an interception to a defensive lineman. Now, Troy Maine-Pope, who is supposed to be the guy who they're putting in there because he's not going to muff punts, this coaching staff makes that decision. Obviously, it wasn't the right one because he puts it on the deck. And when you really think the Chargers might be able to get back in the game and have a chance, they do that. But they did strike again before halftime, did the Chargers, because they actually ran a really good play where they find Austin Eckler for a 30-yard touchdown. It was a really nice play. Him and Melvin Gordon both went to the left side. Austin Eckler ended up taking the intermediate route while the defense sucked up on the Melvin Gordon route, and Austin Eckler gets into the end zone. Once again, Austin Eckler just doing magical things with the ball in his hands, and it's frustrating that the Chargers can't get those opportunities more often, but it was good to see them cut it to 7 points going into halftime, even though they almost gave up a field goal before halftime. Again, I mean, poor defense before the half, but the Chargers were in the game. They get the ball to start the second half, and what did they do? We talked about it last week, coming out of halftime, how bad the Chargers had been offensively, and they go 9 plays, 41 yards, and end it with no points, have to punt the ball back to the Broncos. And after 4 consecutive punts in the third quarter where nobody did anything, I mean, 2 by the Chargers, 2 by the Broncos, more third quarter inefficiency by the Chargers. But the defense, once again, was keeping them in the game. And Keenan Allen ends up getting another crazy touchdown to finally bring the Chargers back to a tie after getting into that 14-0 deficit and that 17-3 deficit. Keenan Allen finds himself all alone in the secondary, and he ends up doing another kind of helicopter move into the end zone. We saw him jump over somebody his rookie season in a crazy 2-touchdown performance, John. And once again, Keenan Allen gets in space and flies into the end zone.
It was a little bit of an unnecessary jump. Could have just lowered the shoulders, still got in, and not risk getting hurt again like he did against the Ravens when he lacerated his spleen on a diving catch. So a little unnecessary, but still fun to watch. But what a play call to set up Keenan Allen. We had been running the ball pretty well that drive, and the linebackers were sucked up into stopping the run. And Keenan Allen sneaks behind them, comes all the way across the field. All the corners that were in zone on that side did not see him and left Keenan wide open for that touchdown. That was a good play call.
Yeah, well, where was the play action the rest of the game? The fact that the Chargers don't run way more play action than they do is infuriating. It always works. Phillip Rivers is great in the play action. You don't even really have to sell it. I mean, Phillip Rivers is not good at selling play action, but the play action works well, and the Chargers don't use it nearly enough. And I really don't understand why, because Shane Steichen, when he first got here, was running it a lot, and now the Chargers have gotten away from it once again. And to couple that with another big play by the Chargers, Denzel Perryman, not known for his coverage abilities, on the next drive picks off Drew Locke, gets the ball back for the Chargers, and then a huge game swinging play happens because the Chargers have to attempt a field goal after going 3 plays and only gaining 1 yard, which is a problem in its own. But Michael Badgley, for the third time this season, 3 separate games where he misses a field goal, gives the ball to the Broncos on their 45-yard line. Great field position. A really bad swing for the Chargers, and the Broncos go down and score a field goal. Chargers defense holds strong once again to give the team a chance. And then the Chargers, on the last drive, have some more last drive magic that didn't end in a Phillip Rivers interception, even though the Chargers don't come away with the win. But we did get to see one of the most miraculous catches of the year when Mike Williams, on 4th and 11, after the Chargers get to 4th and 1, decide they're going for it, and then have 2 penalties back to back to make it 4th and 11, which is inexcusable in its own right. But Mike Williams on 4th and 11 gets a 38-yard reception, catches it one-handed with a defender all over him to put them in field goal range. The Chargers end up tying it with a field goal. And then, of course, with 8 seconds left, Drew Locke takes the field, throws a deep ball that Cortland Sutton was never going to catch. A questionable pass interference is called, and the rest is history. But we do have one more segment to get into, getting into our fan voicemails, where we let you guys vent about another really tough game to watch, coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the show, getting into our fan voicemails. Once again, if you guys want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call into 323-524-7924, because every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. And after a game like this, I totally understand you guys wanting to express your frustration with this team, but I must commend you guys because all four of the voicemails were under a minute and 10 seconds. And I love that because it means we can get to more of them. So we have four today. We're going to start with Lamlock, who was freaking out in the barracks because of the way that game ended. And I can't even blame him.
Yo, it's your boy Lamlock, Fort Trump, dude. I ain't freaking pissed right now. I just destroyed my freaking barracks right now. That is some BS right there. That freaking call in the last minute. How is that a freaking pass interference? Denver got away with the ref robbers. It caused us a season. That isn't BS. A fan does not deserve it. Rivers does not deserve it. So y'all fans that was blaming him, he put on the show in the second half. So I don't know who it is to blame, man. That questionable play calling in the third quarter. Hey, Lynn, you better start waking up right now. Tom Telesco, you got to go. You have got to go. He did not give Rivers that offensive line. I don't want to see you next season again. I'm done. I'm not watching football. I am not watching football for the rest of the season. I am done. I am done. I'm tired of this shit. I'll see you guys next fall 2020. I'll still keep up with the show. I'll still listen to you guys the rest of the season. I'm done watching football. And I'll see you guys. Go Bulls.
The pass interference call, I know I posted on Locked On Chargers and said, you know, Casey has to know better than that. And I stick by that because I think Casey cannot let that happen. He has to locate that ball in the air and not even give the refs the opportunity to throw that flag, whether you think it's a flag or not. I mean, I think it was two guys trying to get to the ball. Did Casey Hayward hold him? Did he grab him? No, none of those things happened. He got ran into by Courtland Sutton. I don't think he would have ever caught it, John, but do you have anything to say to Lamlock about that call? And do you disagree with him at all?
I think it was the right call to call that pass interference due to the fact that when Casey Hayward was approaching Courtland Sutton, even though Sutton's running into him, Hayward is looking straight at Sutton and then at the last second turned his head around and threw his arms in the air. That's keeping the receiver from getting to the ball. It is a pass interference call. Now, can you argue that the ball was uncatchable? Sure, but usually referees play the contact more than they do the ball, so the fact that you're in the situation to run into him and be trailing him is the problem. If you're going to blame coaching for not putting them in the right position, why is Adrian Phillips trailing the play? Why is Casey Hayward trailing the play on a last-ditch effort pass? It should be prevent defense. Everything should be in front of you. You shouldn't be trying to catch up. If anything, you should be running towards them to come knock that ball down, if anything. And the fact that we waited till Courtland Sutton got to them to turn around and start sprinting. A late sprint to catch up to Sutton just proves that there's a lot of coaching problems on this team because these guys are not ready to play.
That is my single biggest issue from that play. Not the call. I knew they were going to throw that call. And if they hadn't thrown that flag, it would be leading SportsCenter tomorrow that somehow they did not call that a pass interference. When, you know, he hits him, he runs through him, they both end up on the ground. That's always going to end up, for the most part, in a call. Me personally, I hate to see a game decided by a flag when there was no obvious intention to try to stop Courtland Sutton from getting to that ball. Casey Hayward has to be better than that. But for the coaching staff to put them in that position where somehow the guy who has two touchdowns in the game and is also by far their best wide receiver is behind your defense. The fact that you don't have somebody behind that ball when it's thrown, when there's 8 seconds left in the game and the only chance they have is by basically throwing a bomb, where's the picket fence defense? Where is it? I mean, Jesus, Gus Bradley, if there was ever a time to have, you know, 6-7 guys lined up 25 to 35 to 50 yards down the field to stop a play like that is absolutely mind-boggling. And I cannot believe that in the last play of the game before the final field goal, you let their best receiver get behind your defense. And that is absolutely unacceptable. And that I have way more of a problem with than the actual call itself, because I don't like to see a game ended like that. I'm not 100% sold it was the right call or if it was catchable, but they're going to call it either way. So to be running, sprinting backwards and breaking out of your back pedal right then as that deep pass is coming in is just absolutely brutal and unacceptable for a professional football team or a football team of any level on the last ditch effort of the game to have a receiver get behind your defense. Just brutal. So let's get now to Nameless, another recurring caller. Every caller today is a recurring caller, but Nameless wants to talk about this game as well, and let's see what he has to say this week.
Hello again, this is Nameless. I just got finished the Broncos-Chargers game. Listen, I've been a Charger fan since I was 8 years old. I'm 47-year-old man now, and I've just been tortured my whole life from this franchise and organization. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how much more I can take. It's like I'm on a roller coaster ride at Magic Mountain. My butterflies in my stomach and my blood pressure goes crazy. This team just always figures out another way to beat themselves and figure out another way to lose. I just can't put my finger on it. I don't know. I don't know if the team has been put a whammy on. So frustrating. They did give a good effort, but just horrible, poor execution all over the place from A to Z, from, you know, offsides to, you know, interceptions to penalties and just the wrong times, taking sacks when you shouldn't, on and on and on. Anyway, thanks for listening to me, Vent. Love your guys' show. Thanks. Bye.
So, I mean, Nameless, it's coming up on 40 years of some pretty brutal losses here by the Chargers, and you're 100% right. What the Chargers do week in and week out is find ways to lose these games. And I agree with you. I don't think the problem is the effort. I don't think these guys aren't trying, but the execution isn't there. The coaching staff putting the team in the best position to win, as I just alluded to, obviously isn't there. And they have to take a lot of that credit. But I don't think there's any one reason that they can't close games this year. I mean, they found a different way to do it every single time, David. And that's why it's so hard to watch, because it's not just one thing. Your defense is getting shredded and the other team is always there to score on the last second plays to win the game. I mean, if there has been one thing that has been the most common thread, I mean, Phillip Rivers has ended 4 games this season with an interception. So the scenarios surrounding all of those games are different. But that has been the most common thread. But whether or not it's, you know, giving up a defensive pass interference, fumbling inside of the 1 yard line, allowing a touchdown, and throwing an interception when you only need 3 points or less twice this year and you had a chance to win both of those games. David, there's no single one thing you can put your finger on, because the Chargers have found so many ways to lose. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to mental toughness. And at the end of games, the other team is executing and you are flopping every single chance that you've had for the most part this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Chargers sit where they sit. I mean, just all these amazing mistakes in the worst possible moments. I mean, it just goes back to the turnovers for me. I mean, the turnovers have killed the Chargers, have put them in bad field position places, has just shot them in the foot over and over and over again, and I think is the biggest contributing factor to them losing most of their games. And also, the lack of aggression, the lack of a killer instinct. I have only saw it one time this year where the Chargers went out and were aggressive and played with that aggression throughout the entire game. I think that's one of the big things that's been missing from this team all year long.
And one of the only reasons that the Chargers find themselves in so many one-score games is because of all of the times they haven't been able to, one, keep the other team from going up 14 or 17-0, and two, because they keep having to settle for field goals, and these games keep ending up decided by one score. So, I mean, that's really a lot of it right there. But as far as why, I mean, these specific games in each specific scenario, every game is different. And the Chargers, one way or another, will find a just absolutely ridiculous, unacceptable way to lose a game. But we do have a couple more callers. So let's get to Nick from Colorado, who also has a gripe about the officiating and also kind of wants to know what's next.
Hey, fellas, this is Nick from Colorado. Just got done watching the game. which I could say was a heartbreaker, but it's really a kind of a mute point at this point. Wanted to know what you guys thought about the officiating. I thought it was a little bit crappy. You know, I guess Casey should have turned his head at the last play. Maybe they don't call it, but I figure that's, I suppose that's a legit call. But a few of them were pretty egregious. Also, what did you guys think of Rivers? I thought he was kind of up and down. You know, it was one of his better games in a few weeks, but he still just kind of looked off, throwing behind guys, you know, just his accuracy and a little bit of decision-making, but it was somewhat clean. And what is you guys' outlook for the rest of the season? You know, what should we do? You know, are we in tank mode, or should we try to give everybody something to look at? Love what you guys are doing. Keep it up. I'll be listening to the end. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Nick. Well, I didn't think that the penalties in this game, some of them were very questionable, but I'm not going to ever be the guy that is just going to come on here and say, you know, the refs were 100% of the reason the Chargers lost the game. So I didn't agree with some of the calls, but there's just so much more in every game. I mean, that could have been done to really not even let the officials be part of it. But as far as Phillip Rivers, I absolutely agree with you that it was one of his better games in the last few weeks, because I mean, he didn't have multiple interceptions, he just had one mind-boggling interception. But as far as what this team looks like for the rest of the season, what the outlook is, I mean, this team can't come out here and openly tank, but it's safe to say with the Chiefs and the Vikings still left on their schedule, they're going to do a decent job of getting a pretty good draft pick, I think, in their own right. And I mean, who is even feeling really good about the games against the Jaguars or the Raiders? I mean, I have no confidence in this team right now as far as winning games that they want to win. But if we're looking at what happens next, I think now it's just for these guys, like I talked about earlier, this coaching staff. A guy like Phillip Rivers still has a lot to prove in the final four games of the season. There's a lot of questions that have yet to be answered. And the last four games, even if they're not going to be a playoff push, John, there's a lot on the line for many people, not only on the field, but in the organization as well.
There's a lot on the line with a lot of things. Looking at offensive linemen who are pretty bad and should probably lose their job, that might have a chance somewhere else if a coach thinks they know what they can do with them. There's Melvin Gordon, who's going to probably not be returning, but needs to get that big contract from somebody else. There's maybe some guys you want to work on that you want to know, like, is Andre Patton someone we should bring back next year or go for another receiver? There's so many questions that these coaches could have. And then there's coaches within the coaches. And then there's questions within the coaches themselves. Do we want to bring back Gus Bradley? Do we want to get a new offensive coordinator? Is Anthony Lynn's job on the hot seat? There's so many questions we have. So these games aren't just going to be, let's roll over and play dead. It's going to be who wants a job, who wants to protect themselves, who wants a better future. So losing games is not part of the question. You could tank all you want for draft picks, but you're going to have so many guys that would be free agents that they're not going to want to do that.
And I'd like to see the Chargers, I mean, play around with some things. I mean, even if Tyrod Taylor is not going to get a start in this season with Phillip Rivers, I mean, not totally losing the game for the Chargers this week. I mean, he does have a bad interception, but if Tyrod Taylor gets in for some plays, but it's not just him. I mean, this would be a great time to look at guys like Nazir Adderley, who of course ended up on IR, but either way, there's a ton of guys on the team that I would like to see get more snaps. I mean, this is where you have to try to find out if you really have something in Jerry Tillery. Drew Tranquil should be getting a lot of snaps. I think Kazir White should see the field a lot more. I think Uchenna Nwosu should find himself on the field a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to see happen for the rest of this season, but openly tanking, I don't think, is going to be one of them. Regardless, the Chargers have a top 10 pick right now in the draft. I think they're probably going to stay somewhere around that if the season continues the trend that it's been on so far. But we do have one more caller, Curtis Loki, who's a recurring caller, another guy who's watching our Facebook live show. So thanks for watching or listening to both shows, Curtis. We appreciate that. But let's see what Curtis Loki has to say this week.
Hey, guys. It's Curtis Loki. Yeah, so I just got finished watching the game. Obviously, we're all kind of upset. I mean, at this point in the season and the way that the games have went, I was just 50-50 on it. At this point, I know we're playing for draft picks. It was nice to see that 50-50 ball go to Mike Williams, and he actually came down with it. But anyway, my question is more geared towards paying Phillip Rivers in the offseason. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, we need to get rid of Phillip Rivers. It's time to move on. He's, you know what? He hasn't had a fair shot in terms of offensive line, at least in years. And so really my question is, based on where we're at with the talent that we do have on the team, especially the young talent, the up and coming talent we have to pay, I would assume that his contract is going to be similar to Ben Roethlisberger's. Would that cripple us? If so, I'm curious, if we were to move on from him by not re-signing him, what would be our approach? And thank you.
All right, so I will come out and agree and just say that, yes, of course. I mean, if you said that Phillip Rivers has gone out there with a good offensive line over the past few seasons, I don't really know what you're watching. But at the same time, I understand why you still have to look to the future. I mean, no matter what, the Chargers are going to have to address the future of the quarterback position this offseason. I mean, whether it's trying to find a free agent, trading for a quarterback, or drafting a quarterback very high, the Chargers have to do something. So getting into the Big Ben contract, David, I don't think that Big Ben money is what Phillip Rivers is going to get. I would think it would be somewhere more around the Drew Brees 2 for $40 million, somewhere along that line. Because if Phillip Rivers does come back, he is a guy that would probably leave some money on the table for the Chargers to try to fill out the rest of the roster. But I don't think there's any way Phillip Rivers is getting close to a 2-year $70 million extension, even though that's what the market is for a starting quarterback right now that you're signing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I don't think it's all about money for Phillip at this point in his career. I think he wants a championship, period. So I think that's going to be at the forefront of his mind if he is to re-sign with the Chargers, is that, hey, I want you to go out and get all the pieces I need for you to put me in the best position to succeed. And as far as, you know, drafting another quarterback and looking for to the future, I still believe that, you know, we should re-sign Phillip, still draft a quarterback high, allow Phillip to groom that guy, and then turn over the reins after that. I would feel more comfortable giving Phillip one more opportunity with all of the necessary pieces that would allow him to succeed and play to the best of his ability. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. But, I mean, these last four games are going to be big for Phillip. He's going to have to go out there and show he can still get it done.
One thing I would like to mention about this, though, is Phillip Rivers declined a contract extension. And I'm starting to think that maybe Rivers is going to make the general manager build the team, and Rivers is going to take what money is left. So maybe $20 million a year isn't even going to happen. Maybe Rivers is willing to take lower money because he has a ton of it already. I think he wants one go in the big stadium to go for the championship. He's going to say, use the money to get an offensive line, re-sign Melvin Gordon if that's what you're going to go with, do something to get the offense ready. And if you do that, he'll re-sign. I think if the Chargers decide they're going to do some stupid stuff with the money that they have, I think Rivers is going to say he's done and is going to walk away.
And that's if the team wants to bring him back. And that's if he doesn't retire. And that's if he doesn't have any interest in another team. But this conversation is going to be totally different if Tyrod Taylor gets a start this year and the Chargers bench Phillip Rivers. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen, but if that happens, I mean, it changes this whole conversation, and that we're saying there's almost no chance that Phillip Rivers comes back to this team next year. But to answer the question of what that's going to look like if the Chargers don't sign Phillip Rivers, the Chargers have a lot of cap space next season. I mean, the Chargers have over $54 million in cap space next season. So they have money to spend, and you know they're going to spend it. But Phillip Rivers, I mean, would take, you know, somewhere maybe around $20 million of that. So if the Chargers didn't decide to do that, they already have $5 million invested in Tyrod Taylor. They might get a draft pick, start Tyrod Taylor in the mold of what the Cleveland Browns did with Baker Mayfield, almost identically, have the young guy behind him get groomed, see what the offense looks like with Tyrod Taylor and a deal that is basically already guaranteed at this point that he'll come back next season. You see what that looks like, and then you go from there. And if you think that Tyrod Taylor is struggling too much, that you have to put the rookie quarterback in, then you do. But one thing is for certain, if the Chargers don't re-sign Phillip Rivers, and even if they do, they're going to have to address the quarterback position this offseason. So whether it's a trade, whether they try to sign anyone in a free agent quarterback class, that is not something to really write home about. It's all yet to be determined, and we'll see what happens. But I think the rest of the season is going to have a major impact on it when it's all said and done. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until tomorrow, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and like the Facebook page. Tomorrow, we will be back with getting into our what went right and what went wrong from this game, as well as some news. So we'll see if anything comes out by tomorrow. But until then, if you guys want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call in like Curtis and Lamluck and Nameless to Locked On Chargers voicemail line. 323-524-7924 is the number. Every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. And thanks again, you guys, for not only just being here to listen to this game, but all season long coming back and listening after all of these tough losses. And if you guys don't already, the easiest way to get the show is to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. But we will be back with you guys tomorrow, as we always are. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.